This is God's word. Come on, say it with conviction. This is God's word. Not Pastor Eben's word. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can be who it says I can be. And I will have what it says I can have. Today, I will hear the word of God. I boldly declare that my mind is alert. My heart is receptive. My ears are open. And I better not go to sleep. I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word today. I thank you for your people. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for your power. As we come today to hear your word, I pray that the Holy Spirit will take this Logos word, transform it into a Rhema word. And Father, the purpose of today's message is to hear you at another level. And so I pray that the hearts of every person is opened so that, Lord, we can receive the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. I declare for signs, miracles, and wonders to follow the lives of those who are hearing the word today, and as they apply it, doors will be opened, shackles will be broken, and freedom will take place in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody say, amen, amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You know, one story in the Bible, it says that Jesus came and he sat down and talked to people. So I'm going to sit down and teach you today. And here's one of the reasons I'm doing that. The first reason is because of the topic that I'm talking about today. I am going to teach you, and when you are taught something, it's systematic. They don't preach you your ABCs growing up. Anybody, they preach to you ABCs? A, I said B, C, D, F, G. They didn't do that. They taught you ABCs, right? Well, I'm talking about the voice of God, and I want to teach you how to hear him. Say amen to that. So I'm starting a new series called Noise Cancellation. Less noise and hear God. I'm going to need, oh, here we go right here. Less noise and hear God. Everybody say less noise and hear God. And so the whole series is centered around learning how to remove or reduce the noise that's around us, and in some of our cases, the noise that is in us, so that we can hear God's voice clearly. Now, you may be thinking, well, Pastor Evan, I already know God's voice. Well, I'm not even going to respond to that. I'm going to let your neighbor do it. So just look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, if you know God's voice, why is your life so jacked up? Hello. Hello. Yep, I'm starting out just like that. You and I, we must cultivate our spiritual ears so that we can hear when God speaks. Because see, if you don't watch it, let's say you've been in the faith for a while, and if you don't watch it, your spiritual ears will get clogged up with spiritual wax, and you won't be able to hear God the way you used to because you've allowed some things to get in between you and God's voice. Everybody say years ago. Years ago, it was 1985. And the reason I remember that so clearly is because that's the year that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I had just gotten saved. I couldn't have been saved no more than a week or maybe a little bit over that. And I was attending Prairie View A&M University. And I was on my way to a Frankie Beverly and Maze concert. It was actually on campus, right? And I had bought some old English 800 to drink. Now, back in those days, you know, it was a crime almost to go to a concert without a buzz. So I bought some old English 800. How many still go to the concerts these days and you want to get a buzz before you go? Anybody buzzing? Anybody buzzing? I guess nobody's buzzing. I know lots of people are lying. But anyway, do they still make old English 800? They still make it? Do they still make it? Y'all don't want to answer that either, do you? How you know? All right. Anyway, I walked out of my dorm room with this drink in my hand, dripping with sweat. I'll never forget it. I can just remember it like today. And I hadn't opened it. And before I got outside, this voice said to me, "What is that in your hand?" And it was so loud that I turned around to see who was talking to me. I didn't see nobody. I thought it was maybe my boys or maybe a homeboy or something or a friend who wanted one as well. And I thought, wow, that was strange. I had never experienced that before. So I get outside and this voice says to me, "What is that in your hand?" And I was like, "Who is this talking to me?" So I was like, well, I might as well answer whoever it is. I said, "Well, it's a beer." And this voice said, "What are you going to do with it?" I said, "I'm going to drink it." And for the first time in my life, I realized God was talking to me. And so the Lord said to me, "You don't need that." And it's how he said it that made me believe I didn't need it. So I decided to, you know, we had these light poles on the sidewalk, that these cylinders and the light was at the top, they were round. So I decided to sit that old English 800 down there, unopened, because I figured somebody else needed to enjoy it. And that's the first time that I experienced God's voice. And that one seemed more audible than anything. And here's the thing, I was only saved a few days, which says that you don't have to be saved for a long time to hear the voice of God. So if you just got saved last Sunday, you are still eligible to hear the voice of God. So here's what I want to do. The goal of the series that I'm doing, I'm going to do it for 3 weeks because one of the weeks is Easter, okay? But the goal of the series, number one, is to help believers discover, discern, and develop their ear to hear the voice of God. Number two, I want to help believers identify any noise that is in their life that is keeping them from hearing God's voice clearly. And then number three, I want to help believers use their faith to eliminate the noise that's in their life so that they can hear God and then obey him on a consistent basis. So here's the question that I want to start out with before we get into point number one. Here's the question. Does God still speak today? Now, I know that he does. I know that by experience. I just gave you an example of that. But you never allow your experience to supersede the word of God. So what we're going to do is that we're going to validate the point, because there are some people who don't believe that God still speaks. So what we're going to do, we're going to use God's word to validate the fact that he still speaks today. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 in the NIV version says this. In the past, everybody say in the past. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. Watch verse 2. But in the last days, everybody say the last days. See, that's the days we're in right now. In the last days, God has spoken to us by his son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through his son, he also made the universe. So God is still speaking today, and he's using his son, Jesus Christ, to do that. So here's the question. How do we access the voice of the son so that we can hear what God wants us to do? Well, I'm glad you asked. That leads us to point number one, which is hearing requires connection. Everybody say hearing requires connection. Now, I have some headphones up here. These are Bose headphones. I'm not saying that to advertise for them. But these headphones are designed to hear whatever you want to hear, whether that's music or whether that's the Bible or whether it's a speech or whatever. It's designed to hear. But how many know that I can turn these headphones on and still not hear nothing? I need a connection. Everybody say a connection. I need a connection. These headphones need a connection in order for me to hear. Now, the first book in the Bible, the book of Genesis, has recorded God speaking to creation as well as mankind. Now, this spiritual connection that God had with mankind, it was mainly there for him to fellowship with who he created. Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. And this connection started because when he created man in his own image. Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 tells us that. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. So now we know that that spiritual connection that God needed to do to have fellowship with man in the beginning, he was able to do it because he created them in spirit. You say, well, God is spirit. John 4:24 tells us God is a spirit. So now God created man like he was, which is spirit, and it allowed him to have fellowship with them. Now here's the problem. A fourth voice, everybody say a fourth voice. A fourth voice rolled on the scene named Satan, and this voice became noise in the life of Adam and Eve. That same noise that Adam and Eve experienced, it caused them, watch this, to disobey God, and that same noise interfered with them obeying God. And I'm going to show you later, it's the same noise that happens to us today. Amen. They allowed another voice. Everybody say another voice. They allowed another voice to come between them and God. See, you had Adam and Eve, and then you had God. You say, well, why don't you have three up there? Well, Adam and Eve are one. So you had Adam and Eve, and then you had God. They had a direct connect with God. But when that fourth voice came, the fourth voice convinced them to do some things that God did not want them to do. And as a result of that, they yielded to it. And now, watch this, spiritual failure took place in their life. And so let me say this, church, anything that we allow to get in between us and God and his voice in our life will cause failure for our life. And that's what happened to Adam and Eve. They allowed the noise from the devil's voice to get in between them and God. And these noises around us can represent several things, and I'm going to talk about these in detail on next week. These voices, whether it's voices, issues, problems, philosophies, people, all of these voices that we hear in our day and time can get between us and God. So what I want to do is show you what happens when we allow things to get between us and God, or noise. Everybody say noise. See, if you have the wrong person talking to you, they can literally talk you out of God's will for your life. Amen. If you let your flesh talk to you, your flesh will have you doing stuff that you know you're not supposed to be doing. And the next thing you know, you're being pulled up for a DWI. Look at your neighbor and say, he ain't talking about me. But look at your other neighbor and say, when was the last time you got a ticket? So let me show you what happens and what it looks like when someone allows a fourth voice, or watch this now, something to get between them and God. We're going to look at it in the life of Peter. Now, let me give you context before we read about it. The purpose of this conversation that Jesus is about to have with Peter is right before Peter denies him. So it was an important question, because now we're talking about, he's talking to Peter because he knows that Peter's going to deny him. So he's having a conversation with Peter before it happens. So Luke chapter 22 verse 31 says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you. Same Satan over there in Adam and Eve. Same joker, same bad time, same bad tricks. He says, Satan desires to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But listen to what Jesus said. He says, but Simon, I prayed for you so that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, I want you to strengthen your brethren. Now, here's what's interesting here that I want to show you. That word fail there in the Greek, because remember, the Bible in the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and the Bible in the New Testament was written in Greek. And the reason we have the King James Version is because he did not read Greek, and he had it translated into a language he could understand. So this word fail in the Bible is the Greek word eklipo. Now, if you think about it, what's an English word that we use and probably derive from this word eclipo? It's the English word eclipse. Well, this word eklipo, let me tell you what it means, and then we're going to talk about it. It means to omit, to quit, or to pass. Watch this, because it's describing an eclipse. It also means the failing of an eclipse of the light between the sun and the moon. In other words, it means this is when an object gets in between another object and causes that object to not work properly. In other words, what happens when we have an eclipse here on the earth? We live on the earth. We get sunlight from the sun. What's an eclipse? It's when the moon passes in between. Everybody say in between. This is when the moon passes in between the earth and the sun. And what happens? We then, watch this, experience darkness. Let me say it this way. This is now when the sun fails to light the earth. So anything that we allow to get in between us and God causes us failure. And that's why Jesus was praying and said to Peter, hey, listen, I have prayed for you, so what you have allowed to get in between you and me won't cause spiritual failure in your life. So let's now look at that from Adam and Eve. They allowed the voice of the enemy to get between them and God's voice, and it caused spiritual failure. Watch this now, church, which ended in spiritual disconnection. See, they were spirit beings. But the moment they allowed the devil's voice to get in between them and God, and they obeyed that voice, it caused spiritual disconnection, which, watch this, and the result of that was this. Now God had to stop talking to them from the inside, and he had to start talking to them now on the outside. In other words, if you just read the Old Testament, the majority of the Old Testament was God speaking to people externally. But then when you read the New Testament, which involves us, God stopped speaking. Well, he didn't stop speaking, but the majority of him speaking now moved from external to internal. Well, you say, well, how'd that happen? It happened when Jesus died for us. So you have to remember, when Jesus died for us, it was a spiritual and a physical sacrifice. And it removed the sin that Adam and Eve did, which disconnected them. And now his death reconnects us if we accept him. In fact, there was something major that took place on that day of reconnection. When Jesus was on the cross, getting ready to die, the Bible tells us there was this curtain. Remember, they had a temple. In the temple were three levels of God's presence. And one of the levels, the highest level, was the Holy of Holies. There was this big, tall curtain that was there, and that curtain, or behind that curtain, housed the presence of God. Well, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that that curtain that was covering up that place where you could experience God's presence, that curtain got torn. Well, let's read it in Matthew chapter 27, verse 50. It says, then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. In other words, Jesus died. At that moment, what moment? At the moment Jesus died, watch this, church, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was what, church? It was torn in two. Watch this. This is very important. It was torn from the top to the what? It didn't say it was torn from the bottom to the top. It was torn from the top to the bottom. You say, well, Pastor Evan, what's the big deal? If it was torn from the bottom to the top, that means man did it. But it wasn't torn from the bottom to the top. It was born from the top to the bottom. Why? That was God saying, I want you now to be able to come into my presence on your own. Say amen to that. That signified that God tore it down, and he did so because the requirement for sin had been satisfied by Jesus dying, and now, watch this, spiritual reconnection is possible. So now, church, guess what? The curtain is now your heart. And that's why in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock, and if any man hear my voice, let him open the door. Well, what door you think he's talking about? He's not talking about your door at home. He's talking about the door of your heart. See, we don't realize the curtain is my heart, and it's up to me to let him in or out. He says, if you will open up the door when you hear my voice, he says, I will come in to you, and I will sup or fellowship with him, and he with me. So once you and I receive Jesus into our hearts, watch this, reconnection now becomes alive spiritually, which brings us to now point number two. Because, see, hearing requires connection. But our second point is, hearing now requires reception. Everybody say reception. See, everybody has ears for the most part, but everyone can't hear. Matthew 11, 15, Jesus said, he that has ears, let him hear. Well, what was he talking about? If you have ears, you ought to be able to hear. He wasn't talking about physical ears. He was talking about spiritual ears. Amen. See, it's not just good enough to have ears. You and I must be in position to receive what's being said. So let's go back to these headphones. Okay, all right. Let's say these headphones represent our physical ears. I'm gonna look at the camera. Physical ears, right? So now I have physical ears, but these ears will not work, or I will not hear until I turn these headphones on. Now, since I've turned the headphones on, I have the potential, or I have a connection. But the problem is, this connection won't take place unless my Wi-Fi system has something to connect to. Now, you say, well, what does this matter, Pastor? Well, if these represent our ears, watch this. When does the connection come? When we turn these on, connection is possible. Well, what is the turning on? When you and I get born again. When you get born again, your spiritual ear now has the potential to connect with this spiritual God so you can hear what he wants to say to you. Say amen to that. So now, even though these, I can turn these on right now, but they're not going to have reception. Everybody say reception. They're not going to have reception until I connect this product with something else. In other words, I need to connect it to a phone. I need to connect it to an iPhone or iPad. I'm not going to say an Android because you're not in the will of God if you have one. I'm just kidding. Don't get offended. I need you to receive the word today. No. Until the Wi-Fi system has connection to something, these ears or headphones still won't work. Or I won't hear what I need to hear. You say, well, Pastor, what is the Wi-Fi connection for us? Let's read Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, okay, wait a minute now. That means the Holy Spirit talks. He says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, everybody say today. Today, if you hear his voice, which by the way, if he says today, that means he's still talking today. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your what? That means his voice is speaking to your heart. And this is why you have to keep your heart good. It says, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it comes life. Listen, Ray Ray, don't let Ray Ray mess your heart up. He says, today, if you hear my voice, do not harden your heart as in rebellion on the day of testing. Watch Galatians chapter 4. So let me just point out right now, that Wi-Fi system that connects us to the voice of God is the Holy Spirit. Look in Galatians 4, 6. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our what? Our hearts. So the Spirit of God has been sent, and now watch this, or the Spirit of the Son, which is the Holy Spirit, he's been sent into our heart. Look at the 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Because what I'm trying to get you to see is the Wi-Fi system that connects your spiritual ears to the voice of God is the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1. It says, it is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He, God, has commissioned us, and he has identified us as his own by placing what, church? Come on, church. By placing what? The Holy Spirit. Where does he put the Holy Spirit? In our hearts as the first installment. So if God is going to talk to us, he is going to speak to his spirit, and his spirit is going to speak to our heart. And this is why I'm getting ahead of myself. Some of us, it's very difficult to hear God because we're grieving the spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit, which you and I have been given until the day of redemption. If you're grieving him, he can't talk to you. Here's the other thing around. If your heart is bad, it's hard for you to hear what he needs to say to you. So hearing requires connection. Everybody say hearing. requires connection. And that connection for you and I is the Holy Spirit, which now brings us to our last point, which is hearing provides direction. Now let me see if you're keeping up with me. The first point was hearing requires what? Connection. And the second point was hearing requires what? Oh, y'all are listening today. Well, our third point is that hearing provides direction. In other words, hearing is one of the needs for us to get direction for our lives. And there are five reasons why we need to hear God's voice. Here's the five reasons. There's more than probably five, but I'm just narrowed down the top five that I came up with. Well, what's the first reason that we need to hear God's voice? Is that his voice should guide our choice. So many people make decisions in their life and they're just making them out of just happenstance. Listen, you could cut your dating pool in half if you just ask the Lord, Lord, should I even call this person? Should I even give their number, my number to them? If I was still single and some, you know, I meet some lady and I know this ain't a good example, but I, you know, anyway. First lady over there said, watch yourself, watch yourself. Before I even think about taking her number or giving my number, I need to be like, Lord, should I even give them my number? And see, some of y'all got stalkers. You know that I'm talking to somebody right now. You just had to change your cell phone number because this joker won't stop calling you. Blocking. He still figured out where you are. In other words, his choice, his voice should guide our choice. And that's why Proverbs 3:6 says, trust in the Lord with how much of your heart? All your heart. Don't depend on your own understanding. And then seek his will in all that you do. And watch this, church, and he will show you which path to take. In other words, he will show you the direction for your life. So let me just break this down, because many people feel like God has more than one will. He don't. He has a permissive will. He's got his... No. There are only three wills taking place at all times. You got God's will, you got your will, and you got the devil's will. Those three. Those are the only ones. And the sad part is, before, you know, if we feel we need to do something, we don't even go to God first. We poll everybody else. Amen. And then if something that we want to do, but we don't really want to be accountable with it, we sure not going to involve other people. And this is why the internet and social media and TikTok and all that stuff, you got to watch it. Because right now in the church world, we'd rather hear a popular voice over a proven voice. Oh, he got 222,000 subscribers. Yeah, but his longest marriage is a year. And 6 months of that, they were separated. Amen. Here's number two. Let me hurry up. Why should we hear God's voice? Because God's voice allows me to have fellowship with him in an intimate way. When you are in prayer, prayer should not be a one-way street. God wants to have fellowship with us. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, it says, and they heard the voice of God walking in the cool in the garden of the day. Because one of the things that God wants to do is he wants to use his voice to fellowship with you. You know, when it gets warm, one of the things I do is walk. I walk around our neighborhood. And, you know, y'all know Pastor Tim, I'm passionate, you know. If it's something about God, if it's something about something, I mean, I'm passionate, right, you know. And unfortunately, sometimes when my passion is high, my voice raises. I ain't yelling or nothing, but my voice just gets high, right? So, you know, First Lady don't like that. She don't like it. I'm like, baby, I ain't yelling. It don't matter. You need to bring it down. So I'm like, so, you know, I call myself working on it. So I was working on it. And so I went back to her, you know, after a while. I say, babe, how I'm doing? She says, you're not doing good. You're not doing good. So I'm like, man, I'm thinking I'm doing good. So I'm on my little walk. I'm fellowshipping with God. I'm praying. And the Lord says to me, Evan, you need to lower your voice tone. I said, Lord, I said, but I'm not yelling. He says, that's not the point. He says, Eben, the voice tone that you're using with Cherise, I don't even use that with her, and I'm her father. How many know that stabbed me in the heart? How many know I started working on it? How many know I'm getting better? How many know I am better? Ask the first lady over there. Am I doing better, first lady? See, look at that. She's like, yeah, praise the Lord. So God's voice allows us to have fellowship with him in intimate ways. Here's number three. Blessings and increase always follows hearing and obeying God's voice. I'm going to say that again. Blessings and increase always follows hearing and obeying God's voice. We can see an example of that in Luke chapter 5 when Jesus used Peter's boat. And when he got through using Peter's boat, look in verse 4. He says, now when he had left speaking, he said to Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answered and said to him, Master, we've toiled all night and we've taken nothing. Watch this, church. He says, but nevertheless, at thy what? At thy word, we could say nevertheless at thy voice. He said, nevertheless at thy voice, I'll let down my net. Well, what happened? A multitude of blessing came, watch this, because he obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I believe there's some things that God wants to do for you, but you got to hear his voice and obey it. Which now brings us to the next one. God, knowing God's voice and obeying God's voice, watch this, causes things to work out well. You say, what do you mean? Jeremiah 42:6 says, whether it be good or whether it's evil, we're going to obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee. That, watch this. Here's why we're going to obey the voice of the Lord. That it may be what, church? Well with us. And when we obey the voice, listen, God's advice is not going to make your life worse. It's actually going to make your life better. If he's telling you to stop dating some dude or some woman, he knows something you don't know. Listen to Jeremiah 42:6 in the Amplified. Hot dog, I'm out of time. Whether it's pleasant or unpleasant, we will listen and honor the voice of the Lord our God to whom we are sending you. So it may go well with us when we listen. Here's the last one. Hearing God's voice can give you ideas and solutions to problems that you did not have answers to. So when we bought this land, because this land, this whole property, it consists of two different properties. The first one is 14 acres. We bought that one. We were paying a note on that one. This right here, 6 acres, belonged to a whole different set of different people. Well, this 6 acres that we're sitting on, also there's another 8 right next door where that house is. Well, that 8 acres ain't no good. So when I was negotiating, I wanted the 6. God told me this was our land. Long story short, somebody else bought it. And I was like, Lord, you told me that was ours. But I didn't get mad at God. Because see, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to get things in between you and God so that you fail like Adam and Eve did. I was like, no, God is a good God all the time. So you know what I did? I left it alone. I said, God, I'm going to put it in your hands. You told us this was our land. So long story short, the church that bought this land stopped paying note on it. So the people called me and said, Pastor Connor, would you like that land? I was like, you know I do. So they had a price for it. And the price was actually a good price. But I prayed about it. In how many ways you need to acknowledge him? Oh, so I went to the Lord. I was like, Lord, how much you want us to pay for this land? He gave me a very specific number. And the number he gave me was over 100,000+ less than what the people were asking. And I was ashamed to call my broker to tell him what that number was. So I waited for a while and I finally called him. And he literally said this to me, but Pastor Connor, it's a good price. I already at the price it is. I said, I know. I told the Lord that, but he gave me this number and this is what we're going to go by. So I'm on the phone negotiating with the people. They would not take that number. And all of a sudden, one day, they're Christians. I said, listen, we are all Christians. The Lord told me this is the number. My conscience won't let me go past that number. And this is what they said. Well, Pastor Connor, if the Lord told you that's the number, then you, now instead of us doing payments with you, you need to pay us cash and we'll give you that number. Hot dog, the Lord done got me in a hot spot now. I'm like, Lord, what is your problem? You done got me out here now. You said this is the number. And I said, what are we going to do, Lord? He said, you're going to write the check. It took almost all the money we had. But listen, I'm not walking by finances. I'm walking by faith. And we're in the building today. Give the Lord a hand clap right there. So next week, I'm going to pick up on five ways that God speaks to us and how that works. And we're going to start discovering what some of these different voices are that keeps us.